victimhood is the biggest epidemic we have right now. Not everyone starts out at an equal starting block, but you do have control over your responses and your reactions, and no one is in control of your life but you. Having the courage to get out there and fail, and redefining failure. Failure is not an indictment of your character. This warrior mindset, it's not gonna insulate you from hardship, but it prepares you to react or respond in a positive way. I think with age, wisdom, and maturity, you realize that moderation is the key.
Welcome to the Melanie Avalon Biohacking Podcast, where we meet the world's top experts to explore the secrets of health, mindset, longevity, and so much more. Are you ready to take charge of your existence and biohack your life? This show is for you. Please keep in mind, we're not dispensing medical advice and are not responsible for any outcomes you may experience from implementing the tactics lying herein. Are you ready? Let's do this. Welcome back to the Melanie Avalon Biohacking Podcast. Okay, friends, you are in for a very inspiring episode today. Mike Cirelli is just so incredible and so encouraging and motivating when it comes to being a true warrior in your life. Reading his book, The Everyday Warrior, really made me want to take my game to the next level. And we talk about so many things in today's episode that I am very passionate about. Things like why self-care is not selfish, how to combat the victimhood epidemic and actually take agency over your life, the concept of Machiavellianism, and do the bad guys sometimes win? Yes, they do. The difference between a fixed versus growth mindset, the role of planning in life. You guys know I am all about planning. Love, action, and apathy, and so much more. I cannot wait to hear what you guys think. There will be a full transcript as well as links to everything that we talked about in the show notes. Those will be at melanieavalon.com/everydaywarrior. And there will be two episode giveaways for this episode. One will be in my Facebook group, IF Biohackers, Intermittent Fasting plus Real Foods plus Life. Comment something you learned or something that resonated with you on the pinned post to enter to win something that I love. And then check out my Instagram, find the Friday announcement post, and again, comment there to enter to win something that I love. If you are enjoying the show, the absolute best way to support it is to subscribe and or write a brief review in Apple Podcasts. It helps so much more than most people realize, so thank you so much in advance for that. Hi friends, did you know that one of our largest sources of toxic exposure each and every day is through our skincare and makeup? It is so frightening the effects these compounds can have on our health. So we put these products on to help us look better, and yet they actually can be aging us, contributing to health issues, fertility issues, thyroid issues, mood issues, and ready for something potentially even more shocking? A lot of these endocrine disruptors are actually obesogens, meaning they cause your body to gain weight and make it harder to lose weight. That's right, your skincare and makeup may be hindering your weight loss goals. Europe has banned thousands of these compounds, and the US has banned around a dozen. There's even a loophole from the 1960s that allows companies to put whatever they want in their products, and they don't even have to tell you. That's why I am overwhelmingly careful about the skincare and makeup that I use. But here's the thing, it can be hard to find skincare and makeup that is non-toxic and actually works. And then on top of that, that actually has all the products you need. I have found two companies, I am obsessed with their standards and use them every single day of my life and cannot recommend them enough. That's Counter, formerly known as Beauty Counter, and Crunchy. Both of these companies have incredible standards when it comes to what they put in their products. You can truly feel good about using them and they actually work. For Counter products, go to melanieavalon.com/counter. And for Crunchy products, go to crunchy.com. That's crunchy.com/Melanie Avalon. New Crunchy customers can use the coupon code ADVOCATE10 to get 10% off. You'll also receive something special from me after your first order. I also highly recommend joining both of their loyalty programs. It's completely free to join, and with every purchase, you'll earn credit as well as other fun goodies. For all the latest updates, new products, specials, deals, and fun things for me, because yes, I love giving things away, get on my email list. That's at melanieavalon.com/cleanbeauty. You can also get text updates when you text skincare to 877-861-8318. That's skincare to 877-861-8318. So again, to shop with me and get a free gift from me after your first order, go to melanieavalon.com/counter and also crunchy.com/melanieavalon. And new customers use the coupon code ADVOCATE10 at Crunchy to get 10% off site-wide. And again, definitely join their free loyalty programs to earn credit on every order. Hi friends, exciting news. My Avalon X Spirulina is back in stock and now at a reduced price. Plus you get free shipping and my coupon code works on top of that sale price. Spirulina is honestly one of the most nutrient-dense things that you can put in your body in a whole foods, easy to eat form. It's a blue-green algae, which is a complete vegan protein packed with an incredible array of nutrients. We are talking 100% of your daily hard-to-get vitamin K, 625% of vitamin B12, over 1,000% of vitamin A, 86% of chromium, 27% of vitamin B2, plus so much more, including iron, GLA, the powerful antioxidant superoxide dismutase, and even glutathione. In fact, spirulina is so uniquely nutritious that it was actually studied by NASA to support the astronauts. I searched high and low to find the very best spirulina out there. Ours comes from a wonderful, sustainable, clean, environmentally friendly production facility in Hawaii, not Thailand, Hawaii. And then on top of that, we did our own third-party testing for over 70 pesticides, heavy metals, toxins, all the things. This is the cleanest spirulina out there. And with spirulina, you can simplify your supplement routine and support your nutrition in one easy step. The tablets are super versatile. You can swallow them whole, blend them into smoothies, crush them up, or honestly, just eat them like I do. And again, we were out of stock, but now Avalon X Spirulina is finally back in stock at a reduced price, and my coupon code MelanieAvalon works on top of that too. Plus, you get free shipping. Just go to avalonx.us/spirulina and use the coupon code MelanieAvalon to get 10% off our new reduced price plus free shipping. That's avalonx.us/spirulina with the coupon code MelanieAvalon. All right, without further ado, please enjoy this fabulous conversation with Mike Sorelli. Hi, friends. Welcome back to the show. I am so incredibly excited about the conversation that I'm about to have. You know, I'm excited when I record a little bit of video because it's a rarity for me, but I just simply had to meet today's guest on video because I feel like I already know him. He is a great friend, colleague, fellow SEAL with somebody that my audience is probably familiar with, which is Dr. Kirk Parsley. I've had him on the show, I think like 4 times now. So I'll put links to that in the show notes. That's a lot of good stuff on sleep is usually the topic for those shows. But I am here today with his dear friend, Mike Sorelli, who is just get prepared for epic motivation of all motivations. He does so many things. So like I mentioned, he is a Navy SEAL. He also is the host of the Men's Journal Everyday Warrior series. It's a podcast series. The Everyday Warrior is his thing, which speaking of, he has a new book out called The Everyday Warrior, a no-hack practical approach to life. Friends, I read this book and I said the word inspiring already. It is very inspiring. We're going to dive deep into it, but it just really goes into all the things that a person can do in life to be a warrior. And by warrior, I don't necessarily mean, you know, Navy SEAL level, but just a warrior in your own everyday life, taking agency. I'm excited to talk about that. Agency for your actions, the characteristics of perseverance and achieving goals and finding your tribe and just so many things we can talk about. It doesn't even end there. Mike also has a documentary he's involved with coming out soon. It is about the 777 expedition. So I'm sure we will talk about that. He's also involved in, I mean, a lot of other stuff like philanthropic work. What am I leaving out? There's so many things. What's your main thing?
People ask me what I do for a living. I look at my wife, Jordan, and she's like, just do your best. And I say, I'm entrepreneurial because, you know, I've got a very professional consulting firm on leadership development and executive search, placing high-performing individuals into C-suite or general management positions. And then you've got this side where we go and jump out of airplanes into Mount Everest with all my buddies. I don't want to put a title on it because it's funny. A buddy and I just wrote an article for Fox News, which we had a title called A Return to American Exceptionalism, A Call to Do Hard Things. And they changed the title and say, two ex-Navy SEALs, you know how to fix America. And we're like, well, first off, we don't know how to fix America. We're just saying this. But like, SEAL becomes the first tagline when you're introduced. And I just don't need taglines anymore. Hopefully people are like, he was just a fun guy to hang around and was always experimenting with new things.
I love that so much. I've struggled with that as well. Like the one title to like encompass you. And it's funny, like entrepreneur is a nice title. Like it does encompass a lot of things, but I never felt like an entrepreneur. I got an article in Entrepreneur and then I was like, well, I guess I have to embrace that title now. We were just talking offline before this about how like in today's world, you can do so many things that you couldn't necessarily do before with the internet and social media. Oh, we can talk about social media because you talk about that in your book, building a platform. And I'm just grateful that we can actually reach so many people now through methods like podcasting, like we're doing right now. So, okay, I have so many questions for you. I'm going to turn my video off for listeners because they know I think better when I can't see myself, but I'm glad we got to capture this beautiful image and your amazing background. So, okay. Well, to start things off, I'm sure you get this question a lot, but your personal story, which you do talk about in your book, but what did lead you to what you're doing today? I'm also super curious. It's funny, like I know Kirk so well and we've talked for hours and hours and hours, but we never really talked about his SEAL experience to any, you know, great extent. I'm just so curious what that experience is like. I mean, because when people think hear SEAL, I think they think like Greek god, legend, mythology, like stuff that's not even possible for the quote normal human being. So what is that like?
Well, first, you know, Kirk, in we've had this conversation. He always undercuts himself. He's like, hey, I was a SEAL, but not that type of SEAL. I didn't see combat. It was simply timing. He came in, I think, in the late 80s, even though he looks like he's in his 40s, handsome devil. You know, he just was in during the 90s when they weren't at war. But, you know, he tells stories and I just laugh my ass off. It was a different generation of SEALs. They had some fun. But for him to go on and become a doctor and then return and be really the West Coast doctor to the SEAL teams and take care of all those guys coming back from combat, he did a lot more than I did. We are definitely not Greek gods. We're humans. You know, people often make or their perceptions are shaped about the SEALs or the military, especially if they didn't serve, by Hollywood. I mean, as a young, you know, 14, 15, 16-year-old watching those movies, that's what I thought the military was like, is what I saw in the movies. And there are no Rambos. You put any one person on the ground by themselves in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other war, and they've got no support, the support of a tribe behind them, they're only going to last so long. So for me, you know, Melanie, I always like to say, and it drives everyone crazy, always the bridesmaid, never the bride. I was never the fastest, the strongest, fastest swimmer, best shot, best skydiver. But man, I was part of a team that no matter what you tasked us with, we were going to find a way to achieve mission success. We didn't always get it right, but we usually got it done. And so I really liked the tribal aspect of the military, whether it was the SEALs, and I actually started out in Marine Recon. I was a scout sniper. I loved those guys. You just put good people that all believe in a purpose and they know their why. And and they all are growth minded, which is to say a warrior mindset. It's amazing what you can do. And so I'm thankful for the brothers and the sisters that I served alongside. And everything that they taught me has shaped and mentored me into the man I am today. There's still a lot of work to do, a lot. You talk to my wife, she would go on for days about all the things I need to fix, and she's not wrong. But yeah, it's when people, if they want to know something, I'll say this. We felt that sense of tribe that 99.9% of people never feel. And well, hey, my family's that way. We're really tight. Yeah, I get it. It's family. You don't have a choice, but you have a choice about who you surround yourself with and what communities you're a part of. And the bonds, the homecoming, the belonging, the emotional intimacy and vulnerability amongst a group of men and women in combat is like no other experience out there. And I haven't experienced it in any close form in the private sector. And that, but that's also why we stood up Legacy Expeditions, to almost get the band back together and go do hard things.
In your book, you're talking about how really anybody can be a warrior. And you talk about the difference between a warrior versus necessarily a, quote, war fighter. I'm curious, with your experience with the SEALs, out of everybody who starts the program and then becomes a SEAL, do you know that percent?
Yes. So I've seen a variety of figures, but it's roughly between 75 to 90% attrition rate, depending on circumstances. Roughly each class has about 250 young men who are all amazing individuals, and they usually graduate anywhere from 25 to, I think one class started with 250 and they graduated 8. So, you know, you bring up an interesting point. You have my gratitude to anyone who makes it through SEAL training. They've gone through something very difficult. They've shown something that you have to show in order to get into that community. Resilience, team ability, the no quit attitude, the warrior mindset. But as you mentioned, in my opinion, and I'm not saying I was a warrior, I strive to be, not everyone was a warrior within the SEAL teams. Some of them were great war fighters, but some of them did lack character. And people want to paint, you know, oh my God, that guy served 6 years in the SEALs. And then, hey, this guy served 20 years in the SEALs. There's a difference. Performance is not standard across the board. You have some SEALs who, quite frankly, are just not very good at their job. And then you have SEALs that are just awe-inspiring. And they're the top percentage of SEALs. I mean, Heraclitus, who's a pre-Ionian philosopher, and I wrote about it in the book. And this is a guy, you know, we're talking generations ago in history, said on the battlefield, there's 100 warriors. 10 don't deserve to be there. 80 are basically targets. And then 9. God bless those 9, for they make the battle. But one brings us home. So he just basically said that 10% of the 100 men are true warriors. And what I've seen is that percentage is pretty accurate. I mean, you look at Power's Law, which basically says, in layman terms, an overwhelming majority of your outcomes are driven by a very small percentage of your workforce.
Wow. Okay. So this is my question. So like, are people born, is that 10%? And then that ultimate 1% that brings you home, is that something we're born with? And if so, like, could anybody become that percent or not? I mean.
So the nature versus nurture argument, I tend to put a percentage on it, like 90% nurture, 10% nature. Yes, are we born with certain physiological characteristics that have been passed down within our DNA? Absolutely. Somebody's going to be 6'4". They put on muscle easier than other people. They metabolize fat. Yes, that exists. But that only takes you to a certain point. And the interesting thing I did enjoy about, you know, the basic reconnaissance course, which is where guys go to try out for Marine Recon in SEAL training, is that the most physically fit guy who everyone thinks is going to make it all of a sudden rings out, drops on request 2 weeks into a 6 month to 12 month program. And then all of a sudden the guy, and this happened to me, I wrote about it in my book, The Talent War. There was this little Korean kid, first generation American, and I'm coming from the Marine Recon community. There's no way I'm quitting Buds because I'm representing the Marine Corps, even though now I'm technically dressed in a Navy uniform. And a great Marine officer told me, he's like, Mike, don't quit or you'll embarrass the Marine Corps. And I appreciate the fact that he said that to me. He was the only one that would candidly say that. And so I looked at this little Korean kid and I'm like, yeah, he was sort of passive. I'm like, yeah, that kid's not going to make it. Well, at the end of Hell Week, we started with 250 and I think we graduated like 25 from Hell Week. And there's that little Korean kid. You know, I couldn't be more wrong. As life went on, we ended up at the same SEAL team where I watched him earn a Silver Star, then went back to the Battle of Sadr City with him where I watched him earn a Bronze Star for Valor. And then he went on to, you know, the Navy sent him back to school where he got a 3.98 in mathematics and then went to Harvard Medical School. And then after a few years of being a Navy doctor, decided to apply for NASA, which I think is 18,000 applicants, and they select 12. He was one of them. And now he, Navy SEAL, Silver Star, Bronze Star, Harvard educated doctor, NASA astronaut, actually just completed his Navy aviation wing. So now he's a pilot. Like, he had been through a lot of life struggles. In fact, we didn't know this, but on the Jocko podcast, he told a story that he had never told us when we served with him. The fact that when he was, you know, had a highly abusive alcoholic father, and one night in his senior year of school, he decided to stand up to his dad, told him to get out of the house. Well, his dad went into a attic. When the police came, Johnny realized that the attic door was ajar and said, "Hey, I think my dad's still in the house. There was a shootout. His dad was armed. Unfortunately, his dad was killed in the exchange." And he held that probably guilt for, still does, for life. So, you know, that nurture part, what we've seen is people that continually go through hardship and find a way, this resilience, to persevere and to learn from it and grow, go on to do great things. So yes, anyone can become a warrior in terms of mindset. It is all about having the courage to get out there and fail, and redefining failure. Failure is not an indictment of your character. In order to achieve success, or excellence, if you want to say it, plan on failing a lot. And that hurts, not because of internal strife, but usually our fear of external. As you fail, and the people in the cheap seats that will never risk anything make comments and call you stupid and laugh at you. And once you can overcome that and start to smile when you fail, have appreciation for it, learn from it, and then get back on the saddle, as we say, and continue striving forward, you become a warrior. So you can take small steps by putting yourself in what some people call deliberate hardship or deliberate discomfort. In the military, we said, get comfortable with being uncomfortable. It meant that in order to learn and grow, you've got to do hard things, which is to say, push yourself outside of your mental and physical comfort zones. And the more you do that, let's say you fear getting up in front of a crowd and speaking, well, practice in the mirror. Next, go ask your family to sit down in the living room and give a speech. And then get out in your community and speak to 5 people and then 10 people and just continually build. We don't want you to take this just drastic leap off the deep end or into the deep end. No, dip a toe in the water, see what you learn, dip 2 toes, and just continue to iterate until you build those scars and you no longer fear those things. And then move on to something that makes you uncomfortable.
One of my favorite takeaways or pieces of advice that you had in the book about failure was sitting back and viewing the objective, practical implications of something that you perceive as failure. In other words, like, what actually happened? Did you actually lose money? Did you actually damage anything? Because I think we tend to catastrophize. We see something as a failure, and then it becomes this whole narrative in our head of this epic fail, when, like, really, we can, if you view it objectively, like, what actually happened? And I think that, I hadn't really thought about that before, but I think that's a really nice approach.
This thing between both ears is the most beautiful thing in the world. And it's what leads to your mindset. It also can be your biggest liability. You just said it. You catastrophize something that really isn't a big deal. And so, you know, celebrate your victories and then move on. Dwell or reflect on your failures and then quickly move on. You know, some things you may dwell on a little more, like if you ruined a relationship during a business setting, I get it. But if you can take the time to rest, reflect, and then step back into the arena, you're going to do great things. Of course, there's things that, you know, need to be done, like kindness, respect, and empathy, and all the things that you do, that you're not ruining relationships, you're not being, for lack of better words, an asshole. But if you're doing things with good intent and just continually evolving, then you're going to lead a purpose-driven life.
Actually, I have a question about that, because I'm really all about things you just mentioned, kindness, empathy. Do you think sometimes, talking objectively though, sometimes do people who are, you know, Machiavellian win?
Oh yeah, they do. They do. And I know that can be frustrating for people that didn't take their approach, took the right approach, and things didn't work out. You know, I hate to say it, like there's SEALs out there that have built these massive images who quite frankly weren't good SEALs and not team players. And for a lot of it, like internally within our community, you guys are like, screw them. I'm like, yay, you know, congratulate them on their success. They've done something right. Maybe they're not kind to people. Just, you know what? They're a grown individual, a grown adult. There's nothing you can do about it. Move on with your life. This is like, comparison is the thief of joy, and karma will come back. Karma always comes back. Just stop comparing yourself to other people, even if you know they're ruining relationships, but they're still meeting with success. Things have a way of that pot percolating over. And so they will have their moment of reckoning, but that's not for you. You're not the arbiter of that situation or that individual. So really focus on what you can control and what you can affect, and try to dismiss what you can't, because you're just going to, again, you're going to cause yourself a lot of depression, anxiety, and just total disarray of mental health.
Yeah. And that taps into a larger theme of the book and a personal passion of mine. I was talking about this as well before the recording, which is just the role of agency, control in your own life, not playing into the victimhood epidemic that we have today. What are your thoughts on all of that? Everybody's a victim. Everybody's offended. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. So when I wrote the book, Fox News got a hold of it. They had me come on, but what did they want to focus on? Victimhood. There is, and I think victimhood is the biggest epidemic we have right now. And there's some very bad narratives out there. I can assure you, you don't have less because somebody else has more. And to actually believe that, to buy into the victimhood mentality, which is attractive, which means you can just play the victim card and you have to put no effort in and nothing is your fault, the end, is dangerous. And you, as you just said it, to play into that victimhood, you deny your agency, control over your life. You are in control of the majority of the outcomes in your life. Now, when you have, and I call the victimhood is really a fixed mindset, this growth mindset, this warrior mindset, even though you have it, it's not going to insulate you from hardship, but it prepares you to react or respond in a positive way. Something bad happens, like COVID victims are like, hey, it's not my fault. There's nothing I can do. Yeah. Okay. You've just discounted your agency. Growth-minded people say, hey, okay, hey, this is a horrible situation. How am I going to make the best of it? How can I move forward? How can I thrive through adversity? Nobody could have planned on COVID. We're not putting place and blame on anyone, but you saw the difference between the two mindsets. And victimhood, victims love, misery loves company. That's what it is. And you see people, victims, attract other victims saying, hey, it's okay. It's not your fault. It's their fault. Come hang out over here. And you create this little toxic well where you collect everyone who wants to put zero effort in and just commensurate in their misery. And it's a horrible group to be around. And I got a lot of negative comments on the book, and I wasn't trying to offend anyone. And then some people reached out, well, hey, you don't know what it's like to be, you know, a certain race in America. And I'm like, you know what? I don't, and I'm not saying that. And not everyone starts out at an equal starting block. And at no point did I try to ever say that I understand what it's like to be a Black woman in America. I'm not saying that. But you do have control over your responses and your reactions, and no one is in control of your life but you.
Can we ever blame anybody else for our problems or for anything? Is there an exception?
You know, there probably is. Now, victims of crimes, yeah, I get it. But what I'm saying is, look at the scenario of, hey, this person assaulted me and it's weighing me down. You have a decision. Let them control your life through that attack, that assault, or say, this was a horrible incident. This person took advantage of me. They caused damage, you know, mentally, physically, but they are not in control of my life. The decision I make next is going to show them that they did not win. I won by learning, growing, and becoming a better human being. And quite frankly, if you look at all those scenarios, you see the difference between the two.
It's interesting. I had a sexual assault experience with a massage therapist. And that actually, I'm actually really, really grateful that that happened, because I got to turn it into, now I like run PSAs on this show about it to raise awareness and encourage people to, you know, speak out. And when it happened, I actually, you know, I was like on the fence about going to the police or not. And I did. And I'm so glad I did. And they took him to jail. And I actually, I mean, this was a year ago, but I actually just got an update about that case. But I think that's a good example of, you know, something that was done wrong, but you have the decision after that, how you handle it and how it affects your life and how it affects other people's lives. And I mean, I really think everything you can turn around to your benefit in some way. I mean, maybe that's a pipe dream. I don't know. It's just my perspective.
Melanie, let me say this. First off, that kills me that happened to you. I wish that ever happened. I've got a very different approach to taking care of people that commit certain crimes. I've got a very, very different viewpoint of how to fix that problem in America. But that's predatory and it's disgusting. And I'm glad you found growth through it, that you won moral courage to go to law enforcement and do the right thing. And I'm sure there's a lot of women that have done that right thing and it still didn't work out in their favor and the systematic problems that we have there. But when I hear those stories perpetrated by men, they aren't men. You know, they're predators, and predators have no place on this earth, in my opinion.
Hey friends, I'm about to tell you how to get 10% off the ideal coffee when it comes to supporting your health. So if you guys know me, you know I am obsessed with optimizing basically everything I consume, and that especially relates to coffee. Did you know that coffee is one of the most powerful sources of antioxidants in the modern diet? And yet, not all coffee is created equal. Between sourcing, farming practices, roasting, and contaminants, there can be a huge difference in the health impact of the coffee that you drink. That is exactly why I created Glow Coffee. Glow Coffee is a premium, specialty-grade Arabica coffee sourced from sustainable women-led farms in Colombia. It's organically grown, and we third-party test it meticulously, like every single lot, for purity. And what makes Glow especially exciting from a biohacking perspective is that we specifically made it to be rich in chlorogenic acid, or CGA. That's one of coffee's primary, most potent antioxidant compounds that has been studied for its role in metabolic health, inflammation, oxidative stress, and so much more. The elevation levels of the beans, how they're grown, and how they're roasted all affect CGA levels. So we searched high and low to find the perfect beans naturally high in CGA and tested them to confirm that, and then we roast those beans to preserve the CGA content. And then test after that as well. Coffee is already one of the potentially biggest contributors of antioxidants in the human diet, so I designed Glow Coffee to maximize those benefits while keeping it incredibly clean and high quality. And this coffee is so clean. It's grown organically, of course, but then we go even farther than that. We third-party test the beans for almost 100 toxic compounds, including pesticides, heavy metals, and mold. Oh, and perhaps the best part is it is absolutely delicious. We're talking smooth, low bitterness. It's honestly the exact coffee I personally want to drink every single day of my life. It's so bright, smooth, and delicious that it's also perfect black for fasting. No added sweeteners or cream needed. You can also splash it on your face for an antioxidant-rich toner. I do that every single day. After the sauna, after the shower, all the things. I created Glow Coffee because it's really about upgrading one of our most common daily habits into something that truly supports your health and performance. You can get 10% off with the coupon code MelanieAvalon at glowcoffeeco.com. That's 10% off Glow Coffee with the coupon code MelanieAvalon at glowcoffeeco.com. Are you ready to glow inside and out? Fuel your day, illuminate your way. That's glowcoffeeco.com. Yeah, well, thank you for you're making me tear up. Thank you so much. But I can say that I'm grateful it happened, because I think I've had so many people reach out to me through the show saying that something had happened to them and that they never felt the courage until they heard me talk about it to actually, even like way later, go back and, you know, report it, or, you know, at least make a report. So it's been actually a good thing in my life. I'm grateful for it. Well, speaking of today's culture, well, actually, one more question about the victimhood. Why do you think we have this epidemic?
You know, I do believe we were just on a podcast with a world-class climber. He just summited Everest for the sixth time. I think it was his 20th trip to Nepal. But we talked about walking from Lukla, which is known as the most dangerous airport in the world, to Namche, which is the highest city in the world, which is a beautiful route. And how you watch these Nepalese people, and some of them are the Sherpa sect, and you've got young children bathing in like 40 degree water, and they're looking at you smiling, where I would be crying sitting in that water. Or, you know, they're walking 10 miles down these just the, you know, the incline of these trails and the elevation gain and drop. They're hard people. We have become so, with the advent of, you know, the industrial age and technology, we've become so comfortable. and we've become entitled. Americans believe I am entitled to this. I'm entitled to a free paycheck. But this is all one because we've become very comfortable. And when you become very comfortable, you become entitled and stagnant. And there's some dangerous narratives out there. And I think it starts, you know, with education of our youth. Our youth is always the solution to our biggest problems. And always just investing in the next generation to become better than us. That's the whole point. That's a term I call the legacy of leadership. And we're not instilling the right values in our children, you know, where these things come, where like everyone gets a trophy. No, not everyone gets a trophy. And again, that's not an indictment of your character. If you don't get a trophy, you're not. It's not saying that you're not good enough. It's saying that, hey, you didn't achieve success on this go around. Try again. I was never the guy who, like I said, was good at anything. Where some people, they're successful almost every time. I'm the guy that has to do it 20 times to become successful. But we've got dangerous narratives out there, especially perpetrated by the media, that are just, again, pulling people into this victimhood category and creating just angry people who just will not get up out of their seats and take the right path, the hard path to embetterment for their lives.
Do you think it's a wave? Are we going to oscillate back to something different? Or do you think it's a downward spiral?
So, you know, if you went back to like the 60s, 70s, and probably talked to the World War II vets that were watching the Vietnam generation and the hippie movement, they probably thought the country was going to hell. I think every generation goes through that. We fortunately forget the history or our past very quickly. Everything goes through an ebb and flow. And I think right now we're in an ebb. And when something, unfortunately, when, you know, you've got to have some catastrophic events for people to wake up and say, okay, hey, we're on the wrong path. We need to start heading in this direction. So I believe it'll course correct. I've got to have hope. And there's some things about this younger generation I really do like. They're seeing us bicker amongst ourselves, which we're not setting a good example. They're more financially sound. They're not living their lives in debt like the baby boomers Generation X did, which I'm Generation X. There's always hope in our youth, but we also have to set the example. We have to show them what it means to be a professional, to be kind, empathetic, and respectful, to have a civil conversation. So no, I think we will course correct. And I understand why some people believe, you know, again, the country's going to hell. Do the right thing. Try to set the example for those around you. And you'd be surprised if in hardship, people see you smiling. They're like, you know what? I'm going to start following that individual over there because they have this growth positive mindset that despite everything going wrong, they're not complaining. They're just moving forward.
Yeah, I love that. And speaking of the different generations and what we see in social media. So I love in the book, you talk about the role of social media and you talk about, oh, I wanted to share it. Okay. Have you been receiving, because you talk about people sharing their failures and tagging you or DMing you. Have people done that?
Yeah, they have. And of course I would never share it. And talk about warming my heart. I'm humbled that you would share that. And we share some messages and I just giving them some support. Like, hey, listen, just keep moving forward. Bad times cometh, bad times goeth. And then when you're successful, just remember, good times cometh and good times goeth. So don't lose faith in the fact that people reach out and we form that community. I love that aspect of what we're doing.
And what do you encourage people to share exactly and tag?
Just failures. If things are awry in your life, and if I can provide just one little nugget of wisdom or you know, a message of support, sometimes that really helps for certain people. I got a note from an individual in jail and I'm going to respond to him. So his parents reached out, his girlfriend reached out, he sent a letter to my house and he read The Everyday Warrior. I'm humbled that somebody who fell on hardship, partly self-inflicted in prison, can read the book and say, hey man, I want to be better. I want to be different. When I leave here, I want to be on a path to recover my life. And so I owe that individual a lot of gratitude for one, picking up my book, reading it, and then having the courage to send a letter and have his family reach out.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, I love that. Well, we'll put a link in the show notes to your Instagram and all of that. So people can do that if they like. How do you engage with social media? Because you talk in the book about, you know, the role of disconnecting and how we're oversaturated in the digital world today. What about people like you and I, where we kind of have to do it for our jobs? You literally say in the book, you say like, unless you're an influencer, dot, dot, dot. I'm like, well.
Yeah. And people are like, I've been called an influencer, and I've also been called a motivational speaker. And I'm like, I'm neither. I'm a leadership development professional. God, if I end up being known as an influencer, my old man's going to, he's going to get upset. So I've got two buckets, work and in my personal life. And I'm not all of that active. If you go and look at my Instagram about my personal life, some things are private. I would always caution people to keep things as private as possible. But, you know, if you do share a failure, and I've seen that, and it's done in a professional, tactful way, and you're conveying a lesson learned, or, hey, do you guys have any advice how to turn this around? I encourage that without being, you know, there's a difference between being vulnerable and being a victim. You know, it's a dichotomy. And you want to make sure that you're more towards the vulnerable part, less away from the victim part. But it is a form of communication. But come Friday, I try to shut that thing down and at least focus on my wife and my family. Yeah, we may video something that'll post on Monday. But you saw the stats in there about this younger generation. And by the time they're like 75, given the average amount of time spent on social media, it's like 5 years of their entire life they've been scrolling on what a buddy calls the anxiety box. But I would say this, with media, if it bleeds, it leads. And we may be standing up a show called the Everyday Warrior TV series, where I've got a couple of hosts alongside me, where we want to go tell the stories of lesser known, amazing human beings that are doing impactful work in their communities. Those are the stories that need to be told, not the doom and gloom. So if there's somebody you follow that just aggravates you and makes you upset, again, you have agency over your decisions. Say unfollow and follow positive content. I'm not saying don't keep up with current affairs. Some jobs requirement, both internationally and national current affairs. Yeah, absolutely. But remember, if you go back to the days of, you know, the Athens, I'm sure it was the same thing, you know, doom and gloom. The end of the world's coming. And guess what? Generation after generation, we've persevered and we're still here.
Okay. I'm so glad you said that, because I feel so strongly about this. I mean, I do agree that social media is having a negative effect on a lot of people. And, you know, there was that documentary, The Social Dilemma, but there's this whole messaging that like the algorithm is out to get us and social media is just wrecking us. And I'm like, well, you choose what you're feeding into that algorithm. So, I mean, if my home feed is mostly just like Taylor Swift videos, and it's really happy. So
Taylor Swift kicks ass, of course.
Oh my goodness, yes. So I think even there, it's like this subtle nuance where people are not taking agency again for their own life. Like, you can choose how you engage with social media, and you can choose what you're feeding into the algorithm and what it feeds back. And like you said, who you follow and don't follow.
On the topic of Taylor Swift, Kelly Clarkson was going to have me on post 777, and they canceled last minute. And I was all excited. I'm like, Kelly Clarkson? Oh yeah, okay, we're going to have fun with this. It's like every SEAL's dream. I'm joking. No, it can't consume your life. My wife and I have committed to walking 30 minutes in the morning with our dogs and 30 minutes in the evening with our dogs. No social media, just breathing, just sort of breaking away from all the noise. And it's amazing how just one simple little tactic can just relieve some of the anxiety. And I get depression, I get anxiety as well. Every human being, you know, the book is not some prescriptive method that's just gonna make your life so great. You're gonna suffer hardship. That's just life. But these small little, and I love it, like almost cognitive behavioral therapies, which we should be teaching our kids now in grammar school, given the mental health rates, is we should be teaching our kids cognitive behavioral therapies, techniques to minimize depression, anxiety, and prepare them for the hardships of life. And we're not doing that. And Dr. Luna Marquez just wrote a book called Bold Move. You know, rather than issuing antidepressants, which there's a time and place for that, let's teach them techniques that when you suffer hardship, let's work through breathing techniques. I mean, it's the same thing. You know, when I was sitting on a MH47 with all 20 guys, and then there's another MH47, Lights are off. We're on our nods. We're going into a combat mission. I would sit there and visualize every stage of the mission. And I'd walk through contingencies, but I'm breathing, I'm visualizing, I'm walking through as the performance of the entire thing, and how that was so cathartic for me and got my mindset right. And people just don't have the discipline to step away from all the noise. You have to actually have the discipline to say, nope, I'm going to go walk around every 5 minutes at the top of the hour to make sure I'm getting my 10,000 steps in, which is, you know, is important. Best way to maintain a positive weight is always get your 10,000 plus steps in a day. Kirk and I have talked about this. You look at society a generation ago where they had to walk everywhere. Obesity levels were much lower. Or, hey, at the top of the hour, I'm going to take 5 minutes to do some mindfulness techniques. I'm going to breathe. I'm going to visualize. Those small things, you start to see a compounding effect from them that make you just feel so much better.
I cannot agree more. One of my favorite things in life is the concept of boundaries and self-care. And what do you say to people who believe that self-care is selfish?
You know, there was a phrase, I took everything as gospel, as scripture, when I joined the Marine Corps, because I was in such awe of the men and the women that were in charge of me. There's a phrase called leaders eat last. And so I took that as gospel and always made sure that my guys ate before me. Or if I was a corporal, the Lance Corporals ate before me. And it was in the SEALs that I had a really great master chief, a mentor, what we call a senior enlisted advisor. And he actually, he sort of yelled at me. He's like, that's driving me crazy. He's like, stop, you know, some expletives, stop doing that. He's like, you need to go get to the computer and start your post-op. So go get your food before us because we know you got to get to the office. And I'd be exhausted and he would see it. And I'm like, I finally understood. He said, sometimes in order to take care of people, and to be a better leader, you have to take care of yourself. And I'm not saying, oh God, I'm such a good human being because I was so selfless. I wanted my guys to see through my actions that I was always putting them before me. And sometimes it ran me into the ground to the point where guys had to tap me out. I had some things going on in my life. It was affecting my performance. I was going through a divorce. I didn't want to admit that to my guys. And finally, they said, hey, what's going on? Stop lying to us. I said, hey, I'm going through a divorce. And they said, okay, we're going to take things off your plate for the next month or two because we're deploying in 4 months. And we need you at the top of your game. That was very late in my career, actually my second to last deployment. And you would think now all this wisdom that I would know that I need to break away and admit that I need help, and I still couldn't do it at that time. So departing from the military and going through a downward spiral of losing my tribe, my identity, my mission, and also survivor's guilt, there's been a lot of reflection with the help of a mental health specialist, a clinical psychologist, in helping me work through what's important, finding my mission again, my purpose, who am I, which is a question we all struggle with. So I'm grateful for the people in my life to have taught me sometimes you need to take better care of yourself in order to take better care of your kids or anyone else.
Yeah, it's a big paradigm shift, but I just think it's so important because really, I mean, I think the only way you can best show up to everybody else in the world and bring the best of the world is if you take care of yourself first.
Now there's a point. Now, if you take it to the extreme, people are going to notice that and they're going to put a label on you. Selfish.
Hey, friends. Did you know there is an ancient botanical that modern research shows performs on a level comparable to metformin when it comes to supporting healthy blood sugar levels? And not only that, this compound also supports the gut microbiome, healthy cholesterol levels, and even stimulates the AMPK pathway in the body to support cellular cleanup and longevity. You might have heard about AMPK. We talk about it a lot in the context of fasting, which also stimulates it. I am talking about berberine. I take berberine every single day of my life, and I see massive differences on my CGM, my continuous glucose monitor, when I use it. I take it to support my fast and before meals to reduce blood sugar levels. It is a powerhouse of a compound. And like I said, people are prescribed the pharmaceutical metformin to control their blood sugar levels when they could be taking this completely natural compound that has been used for thousands of years in both ancient traditional Chinese medicine and Ayurvedic medicine. I wanted to make the best berberine on the market, so that's why I created AvalonX Berberine 500. We did so much testing to find the most potent, pure, and clean form available. There's no problematic fillers, no common allergens, just pure, vegan, lab-tested berberine, extracted from traditional sources. Friends, I am not kidding the difference I see on my blood sugar levels with this berberine. We're talking no post-meal spikes when I eat all that fruit and lower fasting blood sugar levels. It also reduced my HbA1c and my cholesterol levels. You can get it at avalonx.us. And the coupon code IFPODCAST will get you 10% off. You can also get a one-time 20% off coupon code when you text AvalonX to 877-861-8318. That's AvalonX to 877-861-8318. And you can get a 15% off coupon code by signing up for email updates. For that, just go to avalonx.us/email list. Again, friends, this is one of the most powerful compounds you can add into your health and wellness routine. Healthy blood sugar control, even if you're not pre-diabetic or diabetic, is so important, and berberine helps support that. It is the ultimate compound for blood sugar control, cholesterol, your gut microbiome, and longevity. Get it at avalonx.us with the coupon code IFPODCAST.
So just finding that balance. Speaking of the tribes, how can people find their tribe? Yeah, how can they know if they're in the right tribe? You talk in your book about good versus bad tribes. What even is a tribe?
So, you know, your tribe, and sometimes people belong to multiple tribes. That's okay too. I'm not advocating against that. That's okay. Sometimes you have a professional tribe, you have a sort of casual friendly tribe. Ultimately, ask your question, are these people making me a better person? Are they pushing me outside my comfort zones in a positive, healthy way? It goes back to that proverbs, iron sharpens iron, so as one person sharpens another. That's what I've always sought to surround myself with Kirk Parsley, with John Wellborn, with guys like Nick Kush and Andy Stumpf, who always say, hey, no, you can do better at that manner. Hey, you didn't do that well, who would be very candid, or who always propose, let's do some hard things. And that keeps me off balance. It keeps me uncomfortable, which hopefully keeps me growing. But if you're part of a tribe that wants to go to the bars every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you know, while they may be fun to hang around, ask yourself, is this instilling positive foundational habits for me to be successful for the rest of my life? Because at 35, if you're unmarried, yeah, that may be fun, but is that going to be relevant or healthy when you're married with a wife and kids? No. So you've got to ask yourself, do these people stand for something good? Or are they trying to become better human beings? And when I said good or bad cultures, there are no good or bad cultures. There's just culture. But ultimately, you know, what do you stand for? Because the Taliban is a culture, and they're a highly effective culture, whether you want to agree or not. ISIS is a culture. They were highly effective. Yes, they stood for bad, and I don't agree with what the Hell's Angels are a culture. But then you have other cultures like, you know, the Red Cross or religious groups. You know, if you're part of a terrorist organization preying on the weak, I would say you're not an ethically good culture, and you might want to reassess your priorities.
That makes sense. I love when I read a book and I learn about a concept that I've never been exposed to before. It's very exciting. So I had never heard of a VUCA environment. I was wondering if you could tell listeners a little bit about that concept.
Yeah, it's a military term: volatility, uncertainty, chaotic, and ambiguity. So volatility, uncertainty, chaotic, and ambiguity. And it's basically a combat zone, but it's also life. They're the same thing, especially at the speed at which people do business now. So we train and educate people to thrive in that volatile, uncertain, chaotic, ambiguous environment they call a combat zone. And to be able to block out the noise, to be able to prioritize with limited information, to be able to act and respond, that's ultimately what we train people to do within the military and special operations. Well, again, you look at COVID. COVID was a VUCA environment. Nobody saw that coming. It was volatile. There was total uncertainty. Things were chaotic. And there was total ambiguity because we were getting information from both sides. This is accurate. This is inaccurate. No, that's inaccurate. That was a VUCA environment. And you saw people who had been mentored, coached, forged to thrive in those environments. And you saw the majority of people that weren't. So, you know, if you have children, the time to expose them to adversity and to prepare them for life is almost immediately.
I was waiting. I was like, when are you going to say?
Okay. So, you know, like putting your children in situations where they're going to, you know, have social conflict with other kids and not immediately stepping in and letting them develop their critical thinking and work through the problem is actually healthy. You know, I talk predominantly with companies. I ended up on the top 30 gurus, global leadership speakers, which I have no clue. Maybe they just had a poor candidate pool in 2023. But I talk about, people ask how we led in the military. And for me, it's simple. We led through love. The highest form of compassion is accountability. You see your child do something wrong, hopefully in a professional, tactful way. You pull them aside, ask them why they did that, reinforce why it wasn't the correct action to take, the impacts it has on other people, and help them through the Socratic method develop critical thinking. Because at the end of the day, and that's no different than leading your men or women in the military or in the business world, is you want to make your people, your younger leaders, better than you are. And so at the end of the day, if you want to look at it from a parent perspective, I want to raise kids that are competent, good human beings that contribute to society, but more importantly, are able to stand on their own two feet, not to insulate them from failure, but to teach them that when failure happens, they have the critical thinking to reflect, learn, grow, and then continue moving forward. That's the whole point. So exposing, you know, again, getting comfortable with being uncomfortable, exposing your kids to uncomfortable situations in a very smart approach and ramping that up slowly, followed by periods of reflection, you'll forge amazing human beings that are capable of more than you would ever imagine.
Oh, I love that. And two thoughts there. Evolutionarily, I've read that, you know, even play, like kids playing, the purpose of that is for them to experience, you know, like mock versions of scenarios that could happen. So it's like kids are naturally, like they want to be, experiencing this ambiguity and this complexity and everything.
Yeah. I mean, you take kids on the playground and then put that next to a video of our national government, like Congress. You're absolutely right. They're acting both the same way, like children. So yeah, sometimes us adults don't evolve from how we act on the playground, but we put a professional title on it. It's actually quite sad.
Talking about the role of love, I've also heard they'll say that the opposite of love isn't hate, it's apathy. And the interesting thing about that is apathy would be, in my opinion, sort of the opposite of action. So that kind of brings everything all together in that love and action are sort of connected. I was just thinking about that connection there.
So one of the things I say when I say we led through love in the military, and it took me a long time to realize this, I didn't care about the enemy. I didn't. Did I hate them? Yeah, at times, but that was sort of immaturity. They were fed some propaganda and they were doing what they thought was right. So I loved my men and women a lot more than I hated the enemy. And that's what drove my decisions and my actions on the battlefield. And unfortunately, you face an adversary and I'm going to kill the adversary before they can even touch my people. But that's not driven from hate. That's driven from love for my fellow man and my brothers and sisters.
I've always thought it's a bit of a tragedy that we don't have more words for love like they do in the four Greek loves. I just feel like we need more words to describe it because it gets all looped into this one like lovey-dovey, like vague.
My wife and I have a word that means both love and hate, and knock it off, you're going to get a right cross. It's skogafos. And actually, you know, when I retired, I had a trip I wanted to take. I always wanted to go to Iceland and I never traveled in the military because the war was going on and I never wanted to like take the time to break away and miss something, which was unhealthy. So I never traveled other than to a combat zone. And so I went to Iceland. I was dating her at the time. I asked her to marry me in front of Skógafoss, which is one of their, you know, most famous waterfalls. And so we often say I Skógafoss you, but if you're doing something wrong, it's also Skógafoss. And it's the cutest to stop. So
that's amazing.
Yeah. She's a amazing woman. So usually when I introduce myself, I say I'm Jordan's husband.
Oh, no, I love that. Yeah. And I noticed on your Instagram, you only get so many things you get to put in that short little bio underneath your picture. Well, speaking of action and doing things and countries and traveling, what led to the documentary, the 777 documentary that you've been working on a lot?
We did go skydive into the Mount Everest region. We did it was a quick project. Drop Zone Everest. If people want to go watch that, just type in Drop Zone Everest. USA had it on their platforms, USA Today, Sports, Carbon TV still has it up. We've pulled it off certain platforms. But, you know, I love telling stories. I love telling other people's stories. And that's where I see myself moving in the future is, yes, we're, you know, because I was on the team for 777, was I, you know, one of the nine figures being, you know, developed or followed? I am. But, you know, I'm always more enthusiastic to tell the story of my brothers and sisters with a smile on my face and how awesome they are than I am going to tell my own story. And so 777, I am narrating for that, but we're about to do this thing called Drake's Fury, where we're supporting 10 special operators. Only six of them will get to row Drake's Passage. But Dan Myrick is, again, directing, producing. I'm narrating as I get to tell the story of these guys. And that brings me more joy than telling me my story. So it's to tell the story of the living and then also to tell the story of our dead, those who selflessly gave their lives, even though they didn't know you, to protect your freedoms.
You're going to be the official narrator, like the voice.
Yeah, I walked into that. Dan and Christian Krempel, who's our partner in Legacy Studios, like they're like, hey, dude, they tested Drop Zone Everest at several locations and I wasn't there. And they're like, the people were in tears. They're like, you need to narrate these films. I guess I have a face for radio and a voice for TV. So I think that was a compliment. And I hesitatingly said yes after they said, hey, just do this. Let's give it a shot. And so.
Well, that's amazing. I can't wait to hear it. And that actual experience, because I remember when Kirk was doing it, I was so worried because like, how many days was it?
So the overall trip was probably a little less than 30 because we had to go stage in Antarctica and stay there for like 6 to 7 days before we could actually start the clock.
You went to Antarctica?
Yes.
Had you been there before?
No.
How was that?
Awesome. I'm very humbled to say that I've stepped on that continent to see it, the beauty. Unfortunately, it's like bright 24 hours a day. So you come out of your tent at like 3 a.m. in the morning and it's like 12 noon, which sort of threw guys off. But we got to explore quite a bit as we're waiting for the expedition to start. But once we started, you know, this concept of jumping, skydiving into all seven continents in 7 days has been around for decades. And it's also, you know, almost become a running joke. Like, oh, yeah, we'll go do it. And everyone's like, nah, can't be done. People are like, yeah, hey, congrats on taking on this venture. You won't be able to do it in less than 10 to 14 days if you're lucky. Too many variables from weather and all the different continents. And when people say impossible, I hear improbable. And it's almost like they're telling me there's a chance. There's a possibility. And we planned it for 18 months. And, you know, they said it especially couldn't be done unless you had a private airplane. Well, we're veterans. We can't afford a private airplane. So we flew economy commercial. And then that adds another variable of what if there's delays or airplane maintenance or and we actually ran into that.
Which there was, right?
Yeah. But we did it in 6 days, 6 hours and 6 minutes. And the guys set 4 world records. And I remember stepping back and I felt that brotherhood again. And that doesn't replace what I have with my wife, but I just smiled watching them celebrate. And that's that the world records mean nothing. That's what meant the world to me, is that I shared this experience with human beings and we did it together. And the records, who gives a crap about the records? I hope somebody breaks them.
Do you have any idea when that will be airing or coming out? Or will it be like on streaming?
So we're having those conversations. It will end up on some platform. February of 2024 is when we'll have the release party. Where, I don't know, but that's what Dan is telling me. So I'm stepping into this arena now of like, I hesitate to say Hollywood of entertainment or documentary filmmaking. So I'm sort of following Dan and Christian's lead on this as I learn the industry and how things work.
Well, I will keep listeners updated on all of that. I'm so excited to watch it. Okay, maybe one last thing. You mentioned something about this, just as far as the planning that went into all of it. You do have a big part in the book about accomplishing goals and the role of planning. And so I am, I'm like a big planner. Like I live by my calendar and planning and all of that. What are your thoughts on goal accomplishment and the role of making a plan and how can we not be over neurotic with things? What are your thoughts on plan? Like sometimes I'm like, should I be a person who goes with the flow more?
So, you know, everything is a balance. So when we talk about goals, it's okay to have lofty goals. And in fact, Kirk and John Welborn and I were just talking about that. But you often see somebody who let's say a man who's 300 pounds and is morbidly obese. And he's like, hey, I'm going to get in shape and I'm going to lose 50 pounds in 10 days, which is just, that's a very lofty goal. And they quit 2 days into it because they realize how hard it's going to be. They didn't set themselves up for success. So rather the process of what we use in the military to say, hey, this is our objective over here. Hey, if it, you know, it pertains to weight loss, let's say in that scenario, I've caused damage to my body over 5 years. This is not going to happen overnight. So within 2 years, I want to be 200 pounds. So that's the objective. Here's the timeline, 2 years. Now let's create reverse planning, realistic goals and milestones to hit over the next 2 years that set me up for success. And then follow those milestones. Don't leap, try to leap to the 200 pounds because you will only be met with failure. And it's delayed gratification is taking the hard path, which is the right path, which also sets foundational building blocks, which become what we call habits, positive habits. And there are negative or bad habits. So, you know, you've got, let's say between those 2 years, you've got, you know, either 24 or maybe you said biweekly 48 milestones. And if you don't hit every milestone, don't quit. Reflect, say, what did I do? Or where did I lack the discipline to meet that goal? And then learn from that, implement those changes as you go for the next milestone. And sometimes it happens like, hey, 2 years, I'm not going to do it. We're bumping this to 2 years and 2 months because of this. And staying on track and committing and just not quitting from that goal, having the commitment and the drive to pursue it. But Melanie, I say this, I use the example. Again, delayed gratification versus instant gratification, which is partly because of our society. People see people who are successful and they want that. They think it's overnight success. There's no such thing. I've not seen it. In my left hand, I have a blue pill. In my right hand, I have a red pill. The left hand, the blue pill, if you take it, it will help you set the foundational building blocks to lose that weight. Or the red pill, take this and you'll go from 300 pounds to 200 pounds overnight. What do you think most people, humans, will choose? The red pill. They want that instant gratification. They don't want to put the hard work in. Well, you take that pill, you wake up in the morning, you're 200 pounds. Guess what? Within about 3 to 12 months, you'll be 300 pounds again because you did not, again, build those habits that stay with you for life. Take the hard path. The hard path is always the right path because it means you have to actually use these attributes called drive, discipline, accountability, resilience. And those are the things from which success is achieved. When you build those attributes, you are setting yourself up for success. It does not mean that life will be easy. It just means you've got the playbook, the blueprint to succeed.
Me personally, I don't know. I feel like I've been haunted by my drive and discipline. Like I get a little bit, I don't know. I like
neurotic.
Yeah. So I haven't had the experience. I mean, I might have, but it doesn't quickly come to mind the experience where I struggled to find drive or find that aspect. But you did have a section for people who do. And something I loved is you basically said people can outsource their discipline. Like basically, like if you don't have discipline or drive, you can sign up for something where you have to show up. And so now other people are enforcing you to have this drive and discipline. I thought that was so cool. I was like, that's a nice little hack.
We call it accountability partners. And that's something I learned from the special operations community. You don't need to sign up for it. If guys see you doing something wrong, they're going to call you out on it. Not because they want to embarrass you or denigrate you or make fun of you. It's because they have a bar, a standard. They have a high standard and they want to see you succeed. And they want to see you, the very best version of you. So if you need assistance up front, it's okay to have an accountability partner. That's an external force. Eventually, you want to move. When I say accountability or discipline, I think of self-accountability and self-discipline. If you look at the definition of discipline, that is to exude or put punishment on somebody for an infraction. I don't need that. I don't want that. I want to be able to call myself out and hold myself accountable for a lack of discipline. And I don't need somebody to reinforce that. So it's okay at first to have that accountability partner, but what you want to develop is that internal accountability and that internal discipline I call self-accountability and self-discipline.
Hi, friends. I have very exciting news. So I know you guys already know and love Element and understand the importance of electrolytes for hydration, energy, focus, supporting your fasting, your workouts, all the things. Guess what? Element has a product that goes beyond electrolytes. What is it? Well, so I am very pro the benefits of caffeine. I love the cognitive benefits, the longevity benefits, and that said, I am a slow caffeine metabolizer, so I don't actually take in lots of caffeine. I've also learned that the form, dose, and balance of caffeine makes a huge difference in how you actually feel. That's why I am so excited that Element has launched a brand new lemonade iced tea. It's refreshing, delicious, lightly caffeinated, perfect for summer, and what I really love is the science behind it. So instead of relying on massive amounts of isolated synthetic caffeine like so many energy drinks out there do, Element Lemonade Iced Tea uses a full black tea extract, so alongside the caffeine, you naturally get compounds like L-theanine and polyphenols. The L-theanine actually helps smooth out the stimulant effect for a calmer, steadier energy experience with less spikes and crashes, while the polyphenols provide antioxidant support as well. And you guys know I am all about the antioxidants. And the incredible team at Element, including my personal hero, Rob Wolf, conducted a meticulous amount of research to find the perfect amount of caffeine, which is the sweet spot for sustained focus and energy without feeling overstimulated or wrecking your sleep later. That is exactly 50 milligrams of caffeine. On top of that, they knew that caffeine can increase your need for critical minerals like sodium, potassium, and magnesium, so that's why Element Lemonade Iced Tea pairs the perfect amount of caffeine with a meaningful dose of electrolytes to support optimal hydration and performance. And of course, Element Lemonade Iced Tea is completely free of sugar, artificial colors, and all the other stuff that you do not want that are so commonly found in caffeinated drinks today. It's built on the same science-backed electrolyte formula that Element is known for, with sodium, potassium, and magnesium in ratios designed to support hydration and energy production. The result? You get your perfect pack of portable, easy-to-make lemonade iced tea that provides steady, clean energy that tastes delicious and actually feels good. As you guys know, Element is trusted by neuroscientists, functional medicine practitioners, professional athletes, including the NFL, the NBA, the NHL, and they're even used by Navy SEALs and the Marines. So are you ready to up your drink level with the ultimate lemonade iced tea? You can get it, and when you get it, get a free 8-count sample pack of Element's most popular drink mix flavors with any purchase at drinklmnt.com/Melanie Avalon. That's right, a free 8-count sample pack of Element's most popular drink mix flavors with any purchase at drinklmnt.com/Melanie Avalon. Find your favorite flavor or share it with a friend. And by the way, Element has an amazing no questions asked refund policy, so you can try it completely risk-free. If for any reason you're not satisfied, they will give you your money back. Again, go to drinklmnt.com/Melanie Avalon for a free 8-count sample pack of Element's most popular drink mix flavors with any purchase, including their new lemonade iced tea.
Yeah, I love it. And then also, I don't think you talked about this in the book. You do have a large section on habits. Something I've loved that I've learned about habits, a nice reframe, is we get so emotionally wedded to our habits and we have our quote good habits and our bad habits, and we think that we are always going to want, if we're struggling with a bad habit, we think we're always are going to want to do that bad habit. But technically the brain, like, it doesn't care about what the habit is. It just likes habits. And I find that so freeing because it means you can literally change your habits, and good habits can make you happy instead of bad habits. You just think that you like one more than the other. But once your brain changes, it's like down. It gets the dopamine regardless.
There are so many times I use this example, like a downfall is this cookie company called Crumble. Oh, it is so good. It is so good. My wife and I, like, and she's got the discipline to be like, no. I'm like, no, I'm going to do it. And you eat, you know, two or three of the cookies, and it is so good in the moment. But how do you feel afterwards? You're like, damn it. I feel horrible. Why did I do that? And so you've got to be able to, again, delay that desire for you know, that short-term happiness, to go buy that car you can't afford and just put it on debt. And then do you know how much mental strife you're going to have as those payments come in and you don't have the means to pay it? Yeah, I fall victim to that. There's moments where we lose our discipline. No one is disciplined 100% of the time. And I don't want, like, again, there's certain social media figures out there that are like 110% all the time. No, that's not even possible. No one can go past 100%, and nobody can maintain 100% for extended periods of time. You've got to take time to rest and reflect. We didn't send our soldiers to Afghanistan for 20 years. No, we sent them for 6 months. We bring them home. And then there was this rotation. If not, you would have wore people into the dirt, and there would have been a lot more dead soldiers.
Just really quick comment on the crumble thing. So this is actually a good example of, this is embarrassing and people might think I'm crazy once I say this, but I've never had crumble cookies, but I appreciate, they look very good. I can probably tell you all the flavors because the habit I have created instead of eating them is I just read the reviews about them. And that actually makes me really happy. So I've like, that's my hack for that. I love that they like switch the flavors. I know if I have one, I'll just feel awful. So
my wife and I will look at the menu and we're like, oh, that looks so good. Like, well played, crumble, well played. Shut the app off.
The key is to look at it. Okay, here's the key. The key is to look at it, like read it for fun while you're eating something you actually love that's healthy. And then you're like being nourished, but you also get to enjoy. It works for me so well.
So I was recently in San Diego and I love this woman, Marla. She's a Fox LA anchor. We skydived her in. My buddy Nick Cush and I, Andy Sumpf, couldn't make it out. And we did it for Memorial Day. Well, she read the book and she read about the crumble part. And so she comes with a dozen crumble cookies. And I'm like, you mother. And there were some kids and I had little piece of the chocolate one. I'm like, hey, even crumble's good in San Diego because I live in Texas. And there were some kids and my kids eat all of this right now, make it disappear. And the kids just went to town and it was gone.
Do you moderate or are you extremist all in type person?
You know, probably in my youth, I was an extremist. Yeah, that sounds horrible. I took things to the extremes. I think with age, wisdom, and maturity, you realize that moderation is the key. Too much of anything is not a good thing.
Okay. I just know for me, like I can't, I don't know. Maybe this is a limiting belief that I have, but I just feel like I can't do moderation. So it's like yes or no. So like with the crumble cookies, I can't have one bite. It's, or just no bites or the whole thing.
There's both the good and the bad with certain attributes. I completely hear you.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Mike. This has been absolutely incredible. You were just a wealth of information and motivation, and you're changing so many lives. I really can't thank you enough for all that you're doing. How can people best follow your work? What links would you like to put out there?
God, I have got a personal website now. So MikeSorelli.com is really the best place to find me. It's got links to like the Men's Journal and Legacy Expeditions and the documentaries and stuff like that. It's run by my team. So I rarely go on there because the sound of my own voice and my face irritate even me. So go to MikeSorelli.com. You can reach out to us through the contact. If you need a speaker or one of our other speakers who I always recommend. Yeah, that's the best resource.
Awesome. And what are you most excited about right now? Because you're just doing so many things.
The amount of work that it's going to require to build this thing, that what it can be. And, you know, my partner, Andy Stoff, I called him. I'm like, hey, man, we've got so much. We've got so much opportunity. We got to go hard. And he approaches things with a little more, again, moderation. But I'm excited that I've got something to work on. And I feel fortunate and blessed. I mean, I've worked my ass off to get to this point, but there's opportunity. And I'm going to do what's necessary to seize that opportunity and continue to work hard. And the fact that I have that opportunity, I consider myself grateful.
Awesome. Well, that's perfect because the last question that I ask every single guest on this show, and it's just because I realize more and more each day how important mindset is. So what is something that you're grateful for?
Oh, there's so much. You know, I hate to say prioritize one thing over the other, but I'm just grateful for everyone that's been in my life who's touched me, from, you know, a guy who jumps on a grenade, a brother in arms who jumps on a grenade 3 feet from me to save my life and give his life in exchange for that, to my kids, to my wife, to you, to everyone I've had the pleasure of sharing just a moment with in a positive way, whether it's 1 minute or a couple decades. So I am who I said earlier, I am who I am because of everyone who's touched me and who I've touched and learned from.
Awesome. Well, I love that so much. And this was just so wonderful. It was so nice to finally meet you. Like I was saying at the beginning, I feel like I already know you from just the past few months and watching all of your stuff and the brief conversations we have had. So thank you so, so much. I cannot thank you enough for all that you are doing for our world. And I will eagerly follow all of your work. I'll be sharing it with the listeners. And hopefully we can meet sometime if I'm ever in Austin or if you're in Atlanta, have to meet.
Yes, ma'am.
Awesome. Well, have a good rest of your day.
Melanie, thank you so much. Anything you need, let me know.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Melanie Avalon Biohacking Podcast. For more information, you can check out my book, What When Wine, Lose Weight and Feel Great with Paleo-Style Meals, Intermittent Fasting, and Wine, as well as my blog, melanieavalon.com. Feel free to contact me at podcast@melanieavalon.com. And always remember, you got this.